The International Mastermind Association is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for a coordination of knowledge and efforts in a spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives: spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. After all, successful people have plans. Napoleon Hill said, quote, education, knowledge, and influence are more powerful than any exchange of money, end quote. For more information about International Mastermind Association, visit us on the web, internationalmasterminders.com, or once again, Facebook the group, International Mastermind Association.
And good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to another wonderful, awe-inspiring International Mastermind Association Blog Talk Radio Show, walking through the awesome book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Today, our show is focusing on the power and the mystery of sex transmutation. And Napoleon Hill says that the meaning of the word transmute is a simple language. It basically is the changing or transferring of one element of energy into another form. And so when we come before you every single Saturday talking about the power of this awesome book, today we're talking about the emotion of sex and how you can bring it into a different state of mind. Napoleon Hill says that because of the ignorance on the subject, the state of mind is generally associated only with the physical side of human nature. And because of the improper influences to which most people have been subjected to acquiring their knowledge about sex, this emphasis is purely physical. He goes on to share with us that there are back of this possibility are three constructive potentialities, and they are the perpetuation of the human race, the maintenance of physical and emotional health, and what we're going to be discussing today is the transformation of mediocrity into genius through the transportation of your sexual energy. But I don't want to get too far ahead of myself because I want to bring on our guest host and have them introduce themselves and share any aha moment that they may have about this particular subject. And so first we have Ms. Robin Donaldson. And Robin Donaldson is the owner of Renew Construction Services, which is a full-service construction firm. She will be followed by Thomasina Williams, who's the owner of Sankofa Legacy Advisors, which helps families build generational success as their legacy. And so with that, we're going to go ahead and start with Robin. Then we will be followed with Angelique Frost, who's the owner of Marjay brand Luxury Beadline, and she's the maker of handcrafted women's bracelets. And finally, but not least, Ursula Odom, the owner of Sulutu, a publishing, performance, and creative arts firm. So, Robin, if you would share with us your aha moment, please.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I am so excited to be here. And the chapter on sex transmutation. Well, Ms. Ann, the first time I read this chapter, I was really unsure of its meaning. I asked myself, like, what does sex have to do with getting rich or manifestation of my dreams? But after reading the chapter a couple more times, I understood that there's many desires that moves us to action. And some sex transmutation being the most powerful of these human desires. Again, just understanding that we all have desires for riches, peace, health, but the desire for, again, sex is the most powerful one. So, again, in reading and understanding the chapter, sex is a powerful stimuli for our mind. And you have fame, power, money. It stimulates your mind to the same degree. And if we can get ourselves into a heightened state of emotional intensity, as Napoleon Hill had described, we would be able to be more energized and, for me, more driven to action. And how can I say? As you reach the state of, I'm going to say me, as I've reached the state of mind, and have intense desires similar to that when motivated by sex. So when all of the passion and sexual energy is focused on a pursuit of someone in an attempt to win them over, you get creative in your approach. And the same happens when you transmute the same passion and energy again into your work or your business idea. So again, from understanding the sexual transmutation now, is that I'm almost able to take myself in that heightened or that state of mind, because I would often just sit back and just think about of an experience and just understand how at that time I don't think of anything negative. I don't think of, again, anything negative. So at that time I'm like in a different I'm in a different level, because now my thoughts are clear, my thoughts are pure, and I'm able to really focus on the desire, the dream, or the mission at hand. And again, it's probably going to take the listeners on this call a couple more times to really understand it, but again, it's just really putting that energy, or as the chapter says, transmuting that energy into a different type of desire or emotion or force. So for me, that was my aha moment, and that's how I was able to again, get into that state of mind known as the sexual transmutation.
And Robin, if you would follow that up by sharing the listeners a little about your business, please.
I'm sorry, say it again, Ms. Ann.
Yes, if you can share with the listeners a little about your business.
Okay, so the business that I have is a cleaning service. It's a full-service cleaning. We do everything from residential, commercial, post-construction cleaning to heavy hauling.
Awesome. Well, next we're going to go to Ms. Thomasina Williams, and she's going to share a little about what she does and her aha moment. Thank you.
Thank you. And good morning, Anne, Robin, Ursula, and Angelique, and good morning to everyone listening out there. My name again is Thomasina Williams. I am the founder and principal consultant of Sankofa Legacy Advisors. And our work is all about helping families to build generational success as their legacy. We do that by helping families to be very intentional and very purposeful about designing the lives that they want to create for themselves and for other family members. More often than not, people are operating on automatic pilot or just kind of going through life expecting things to happen. And we get so focused on making money that we sometimes neglect to be as intentional and as purposeful in cultivating our family's human capital as we are in building our businesses and our financial capital. Because the human capital is really where it all starts. And if we're going to be able to hold on to those resources from generation to generation, we've got to be focusing on developing our human capital at the same time that we're growing the financial capital. In terms of my insights and aha for this chapter, what struck me about this is, for those who may be joining for the first time, we are marching through Napoleon Hill's classic book, Think and Grow Rich. And in the book, Napoleon Hill lays out a 13-step formula for success. The focus is in large part on our businesses and our financial lives, but the 13-step formula applies really to any area of our life. The very first step is that of desire. We are now on the chapter of the book that talks about sexual transmutation. That is step 10, but step 1 is desire. And Napoleon Hill explains that sexual desire is the single most powerful desire of all desires, and that while we tend to think of sexual desire as being purely physical, it really isn't. There's also an emotional element to it. And it's through really tapping into and transmuting or channeling, transforming that sexual energy that we are able to tap into our creative ability, to tap into our innate genius. And so for me, I thought the most enlightening part about this chapter is, again, it's all about our consciousness and our thought process, that sex is not simply physical. It also has this emotional element to it, and that I can channel that emotional element, because Napoleon Hill says that while we tend to think about reasoned or our thinking mind as the ultimate, we are actually emotional beings, and that we can only set into motion our creative abilities by tapping into our emotions, and that sexual energy is one way to do that. That through practices such as meditation, as journaling, we can cultivate that creative imagination by listening to the still small voice. So it's really trying to figure out how to do somewhat in a way what I do with my work, focusing on human capital at the same time that we're focusing on our financial capital. Is just a more holistic view. It's tapping into the different parts of ourselves to get to where does we want to go. And as I understand this chapter, Napoleon Hill is saying that we can use our sexual energy in more than simply one way. Yes, there's the physical component, no question about it, but there's also the emotional component. And the way to access our creative genius is by tapping into that emotional component and listening to the still small voice, channeling that emotional sexual energy into other types of creative desire for those things that we want in our lives.
Thank you. Thank you, Thomasina. And by any chance, do you have any examples of what does that look like that you may have read or experienced?
Well, again, I think it's a question of, I'm trying to think of a specific example. I would say that one of the things Napoleon Hill talks about a lot in the book is people who are very successful. If we think about, for example, very prominent corporate executives in our society tend to still be largely male and have strong sexual desires. Or it talks about athletes, again, very strong sexual desires. And what they have done is figured out how to tap into that sexual energy to transform the energy, to take that and use it for creative purposes in other parts of their lives, primarily through listening to the still small voice, through the meditation, through the journaling, through the prayer. So if you look at anybody who's been successful or is successful, Napoleon Hill says that that person probably has a very strong sexual desire. They just know how to channel that desire. And for myself, I would think I would say the same thing, being able to not drain ourselves physically, but take that energy and consciously, intentionally, purposefully figure out other ways to make use of the energy to manifest the things that I say, that we say that we want in our lives.
That's phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal. So right now we're going to go to Ms. Ursula Odom, and Ursula's going to share a little about herself and her firm, and then she's going to give us her aha moment that she has been able to derive from this chapter. I want to thank you, Thomasina, just listening and thinking about many of the individuals that were mentioned in the book, and even when he talked about the great artists and the writers and musicians and poets, that's the positive side. We also see the negative side of this sex transmutation with many of our politicians who have done exactly what he said. It may or may not have been with their mate and become, you know, front page news, if you will. So right now we're going to go to Ursula Odom. And Ursula, if you share with us a little about your business and your aha moment from your reading. Thank you.
Good morning. Yes, my business is Sula Tu, and I'm a publisher, and I really like to say that I will capture, preserve, and present legacy information on a personal basis or a corporate basis, that information can be used for the benefit of your families, the country, and, of course, your business. And that means that I love talking to people and finding out about what they do. In fact, when Thomasina was talking about generational legacies, well, the first thing you have to do is find out what happened generations before, that you can pick up on those personalities, those skills, those traits, those wonderful stories that will motivate the next generation. So I like going and getting those stories and then presenting them in the form of books, videos, live presentations, and basically any form that we can, even legacy walls. I just love taking the generations before and introducing it to the future. As it relates to the book, this section, you know, for a country girl is kind of hard to talk about, but I'm going to do it anyway. I was married to the late, great Isaac McLemore, and he comes to mind because being able to work with partner is absolutely a wonderful thing because you have the completeness of all goals, from the sexual part to going out and achieving those goals. And what it did for us in terms of what other people saw, they saw this couple that was happy with each other and they wanted to follow them, and we transferred that into a business where we could motivate people, especially him, because he was the ultimate motivator. But then I take it to another level, because at that point in time, I lost him. He died. And so what I learned about myself at that point is, when in the midst of grief, I transferred all of that into working like nobody's business on the goals that I had of my own. I mean, I almost went into seclusion, but I didn't go to sulk. I went and picked up my goals, and out came several books because they were sitting there waiting for attention. And as opposed to just sitting there and grieving, which I did grieve, I turned that into something that could be productive. I used that time to be alone, but not to do destructive things. I did productive things in his honor, say, for instance. You know, they want you to be successful when that union has been broken in that way. So I look at that, is that you could take the positiveness of having a mate and moving with that and letting that motivate you, and then if it's not there, then you can transmute that into something as strong and as determining, as far as your future is concerned, into something that can be positive for you and the world. And I have a couple other examples, but I'll come back to those.
No, you can go ahead and share now. It's fine.
Okay. The other thing I wanted to talk about is that when we were prepping for this discussion, I thought about the fact that, and I really thought it was a joke, quite frankly, is that salespeople really know about this particular skill in terms of taking the sexual energy and moving it to a benefit. And the reason I say that is that if you, and how I said it earlier too, is that if you have a man, then you can go out there and you can smile and you can flirt and you can make sales and you can do all kinds of things, and it doesn't mean anything because you know you're coming home to happiness, and you're not out there looking for a man, you're looking to do business. So, but if you don't have someone, then you're out there looking for a man and business at the same time, and people can see that on your face. They can see it. They can feel it. And so it's kind of funny, but then looking at the book, I realized that that's exactly what the book says. Is they have an example in here where 30,000 people were involved in sales, and they were astounded how successful they were. And then they realized that those people were highly sexed as well, and they tend to be successful. And I think because in sales you have to have charisma, you have to be charming, you have to be out there. And the example that comes to mind for me personally, Isaac called me once, Isaac McElmore, that is. He was traveling, and he called me and he says, "Hey, Princess, guess what? You need to talk to this lady because she is drop-dead gorgeous." And he put me on the phone. I said, "My goodness, he's saying all that about how drop-dead gorgeous you are? You must be good-looking." I said, "But let me tell you who he is. He's not flirting. He's trying to tell you about something that he does, and he knows what he does, and he does it well. Let me tell you exactly how this will play out." And the person had nothing to do but listen because they were, like, stunned. And it was fun for me, to be perfectly honest, but that's how we rolled. And then when I look at the book and it talks about the fact that this is what's used, or these techniques, the handshake, the tone of voice, posture, vibrations of thought, and body adornment, I mean how you dress and how you look, all plays into successful salespeople being as successful as they are. Because, you know, you hear the statement, you do business with people that you know, like, and trust. Well, these are the things that make you know, like, and trust someone. When you shake someone's hand and it's weak and they're hesitant, you know, what's that all about? So you wonder who they are just from the initial touch. But when you touch somebody's hands and all of a sudden, you know, there's that magnetism, well, let's hope you are satisfied at home because you don't want to do anything else but business at that point. Or maybe you do. But nevertheless, that's how you find out who you know, like, and trust. And so this whole area can be something that will make or break you depending on how you look at it. And that's how I see it. I just think it's kind of fun when you analyze the dynamics of what it could and could not be.
Well, thank you so very much for that, Ursula. We're going to go right now to a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to hear from Angelique Frost.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
All right, and now we are back. And if you've just joined us, we are talking about the book Pink and Womanish by Napoleon Hill, and we are joined by Angelique Frost, who is going to share with us right now a little about herself and what she does in her business and her aha moment from the reading.
Okay, good morning, ladies, and all of our listeners. So my aha moment in this chapter, there were quite a few, Miss Ann. I have everything highlighted with post-its. One of the, I guess my top two that stood out to me while I was reading this section is that it stated why most people seldomly exceed before 40. And what it states in the book is that before the age of 40, and more than often, we don't strike the real pace until we're at least well beyond 50. And this is something that is kind of funny and also kind of mind-blowing, because you assume that you've mastered and doing everything the correct way after doing it, you know, for a certain length of time, or however you are exposed or experienced to this thing. So I think it's kind of funny that, you know, the day and the age of the world that we currently live in, it's like there's so such shaming in everything that one does. Even as far as getting older, is now looked as like, okay, let's see how younger we can get. Or, you know, speaking of sex or the introduction to sex to, you know, either your children or young, you know, of course, age appropriate. But it's like, I just want to thank all the ladies for actually having the conversation, because I don't know another platform that we can actually have listeners and have people with an open mind that's really allowing it to register and not be so quick to want to just hurry and turn the page or not have the discussion. So thank you, ladies, for coming on so we can have this discussion first and foremost. But I thought it was really interesting that the book teaches that it doesn't, you don't really reach your height until 50. I'm like, personally, at the rate that I'm being exposed to wisdom and, you know, with Napoleon Hill philosophy, I don't know what's going to happen with me at 40. Another key point that I wanted to point out on here is that it stated that criminologists have discovered that some of the most hardened criminals can be reformed through the influence of a strong love. And this is also something that registered to me, because right now, I don't know if it's just my era, which is the 80s babies, but everyone wants to call it everything but love. When you have a connection with someone, even if you're not in love, it's like we build these walls or these barriers or go through all of this extra stuff only to find out that it's exactly what we're trying to avoid. So, you know, and the fact that they actually did studies and criminologists were actually able to study criminals and see that love could change the heart of some of the, you know, some people that have committed some of the worst crimes, that says so much. You know, I know we live in a time where love is kind of putting on the back burner. There's so much going on in the world with, you know, if it's not politics or, you know, racial slurs or any of this. And it's just like I ask myself if we'll ever get back to that point where we can just be all good human beings at the end of the day. So this chapter really registered with me, because it taught you that, or it taught me that the older you get, you know, the wiser you get. And no matter what you put out in the universe, it's going to come back to you one way or another, you know. And thank God that whatever you're putting out comes back to you. And it's going to be, I don't think it's going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to come and get you, because you have the power to change your thinking. And it also teaches in another book that he has that a positive thought is 10 times as stronger than a negative thought that you may have. So even with the sexual transmutation being one of the tools that we can use to alter our thinking, I think sometimes people say, what do you want, or what do you do, or how do you hold this? It's like at the end of the day, I just want to be a good human being. Doesn't matter what color I am, you know, who I voted for, what you think of me or what you may perceive of me, because I'm the only one that has to, you know, live with my conscience. So that, as far as the book goes, this was a very good chapter. I read it a few times to actually get the real meaning of it, and it really opened me up. So that's as far as the book goes, Ms. Ann. And as far as my business, I am currently in the process of launching my website and getting everything out for my pre-orders, which God has just been so good and so favorable. You know, I hate to get religious on you guys, but God's timing is impeccable. I think if everyone could just step back and just take a look to say that there's someone working on the background for me and my best interest, that we would go into things a lot more open-heartedly and we would treat people a lot differently and we would go about things in a way that would make everyone in the situation not feeling any type of way. And, you know, we always win no matter what the situation looked like. I don't know who this for, where this is going, but no matter what the situation looked like, we've already won. There's no reason to feel as though, you know, whatever the outcome is, if you're saved, that's the outcome that was intended, you know. And throughout my journey and what I've learned is that I'm not in control. No matter how much I may feel like I have everything organized or everything in order or everything paid up or everything that I wanted, I have to, you know, really realize that I'm not in control, because sometimes it causes me to change my, excuse me, to change my plans and do them not in a different way but a different order. And I have to be open to receive that, and my business has been able to move expeditiously also with surrounding myself with people from NatWick and doing these calls, because in the book it teaches you your subconscious mind is working with or without your permission. So you might as well direct it to something that's going to manifest. Well, let me rephrase that. Whatever you're directing your attention to or your thinking to will manifest, whether it be good or bad, you know. And the laws of nature teaches you within this book, like when I have read this book, it has awakened something. It's like it has awakened a curiosity, and it just keeps you on this path that you want to just keep unfolding and, you know, and really get the real understanding. And, you know, when I met Miss Ann back in January, I don't even know if she remembered this conversation. She told me there are two things I can't do for you, and I'll help you with everything else. I can't believe for you, and I cannot read for you. So with that being said, I began to be like, oh, okay, she's serious. Like, I got to read this myself. So thank you so much, Miss Ann. You have definitely changed my life since the moment you've entered. And that was my sharing from the book. Thank you.
Oh, thank you to all of you and all of our guests that have been listening. If you'd like to ask a question or participate in the conversation, just press 1 on your dial and we'll bring you in. I'd like to go back to something that I read that talked about genius. And when I read it, I thought about myself, not in terms of being a genius per se, but in terms of learning how to repurpose the energy. And what the book basically says is that no one will misunderstand the statements to mean that all who are highly sexed are geniuses. Individuals attain the status of genius only when and if they stimulate their mind so that it draws upon the forces available through the creative faculty of the imagination. Chief among the stimuli which can produce this stepping up of mental function is sex energy. And I was sharing earlier that for me, I find that when I give myself enough time early in the morning on a daily basis to allow the sexual energy to be transmuted into the journaling, the reading, just thinking of a specific subject, the specific business or a specific idea, and write down what comes to me. And after doing that over 5, 10, 20, 30, now 40 years, it is amazing what happens. And so for each of us that are shared today, we each have our different ways of transmuting the energy from one form to another. And we'd like to challenge each of you that's listening to this show today or sometime in the future to find a way yourself to transmute your energy from one form to another. But I'd like to prepare to wrap up and start with Thomasina and go through everybody else. If you have any closing comments, we're going to go to our final commercial break first, and then we'll come back with Thomasina and then Robin and Angelique and Ursula. Any closing comments or thoughts you'd like to share? But first, Ursula, we'll go to another commercial break.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com. Or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Thomasina, right before we go to you, we do have a caller with a question. Caller, your number,
okay.
Our last 4 digits is 7. Thank you, 7528. We're going to go ahead and open your line. And if you have a question or comment, caller.
Hi, good
okay,
morning.
Okay, may not be ready.
Deborah,
yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you, Deborah. Yes, she's got a lot of static in the background, but yes, ma'am, we can hear you. Go ahead with the question, please.
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm driving and it's raining, but I just wanted to say I really thoroughly enjoyed the conversation this morning, and the sex transportation is one of my favorite sections of the book. I've read the book several times over the years, and I just picked it up again, but been listening to your show, as well as the network skills. And just wanted to say that if we could just all gather the energy, as one of your speakers said this morning, that comes to us through sex transportation and transmute that into our daily lives, I think that we would have a much more positive effect on the things that we touch and the world that we live in. We have lots of work to do, and we must just continue to do that. So just keep pulling on that energy, and let's try and know that we're all very powerful when we pull on it together through our mastermind. So thank you so very much for the conversation, and again, that's one of my favorites.
Well, Anne, I think I can go to my closing comments now. I want to thank the caller for the observation and for just reinforcing what all of our hosts have said. If you think about it, everything really is about energy. And sex is simply one of the most powerful energetic forces that we have. Most people think about sex as being purely physical. And what Napoleon Hill is encouraging us to do is to also tap into the emotional element of our sexual energy and then transmute or transform, channel that emotional element into other types of desires. And he points out that that is the difference between very successful people and people who are not as successful. They've taken the ability, that they figured out the ability to tap into this resource that we all have. They're simply taking it to another level. And so I would encourage people to read this chapter. It took me a while, frankly, to get into the chapter. I kind of had a reaction that Robin did initially of what has sex got to do with anything. But the reading really is allowing us to tap into another force that is available to us, and that sometimes what I realize, I've been unconsciously using that force anyway. The book helps us to figure out how to do it habitually, intentionally, and purposefully. So, again, it's just another form of energy, another form of desire that we can use and channel into making a reality that which we have as our desires for ourselves in our financial lives, in our businesses, as well as in our marriages, relationships, families, and anything else that we want to achieve.
All right. Thank you so very much for sharing that. And so at this time, we're going to go to Ms. Robin Donaldson. And Robin, if you have any closing comments or thoughts that you'd like to share as we prepare to wrap up?
Thank you. Again, I just wanted to, my closing was with the quote
And it says, fortunate indeed is the person who has discovered how to give sex emotion an outlet through some form of creative effort. For he has, but that discovery, lifted himself to the status of a genius. That would be my closing thought.
All right, that's very well said. And so now we're going to Angelique, and then we'll wrap up with Ursula.
Okay, my closing thoughts would be that anything you hold in your mind will manifest itself. And if you don't believe it, I would encourage everybody to just do a small exercise on holding something, even if it's a person that you haven't seen in a while, if it's a thing that you want, don't just visualize it and hold that thought in your mind. Be very detailed about what you want it to be. And until it shows up, hold that mind, hold that thought in your mind, on that road of realizing that you can attract things to you despite you or not. It will make it something, and you will realize that your life has been drawn to you, and then not only that, you have the ability to change it. Thank you.
All right, I just want to just repeat part of what she said, was to just hold the thought in your mind. You were breaking up just a little bit, Angelique, so I just wanted to make sure that the listeners heard what you said. So thank you for sharing. And so now we go to Ms. Ursula Odom.
Hi. The other thing I wanted to mention earlier when about people being successful, being charismatic, it sometimes makes me want to wonder why people do certain things, and going through this book made me think about that. And I thought about the fact that Isaac used to always introduce me when he would speak, and that's so that people would know that he was married and who I was, because they were naturally attracted to a charming person. And then I thought about it, that's the same thing that happens in churches. The first lady is always introduced, because these people are in the business of turning all of this energy into success, because business is done with people that you know, like, and trust. And that is not, I mean, all of that is pretty much emotional. It's energy. If you like a person, if you know that person, you only know them because you're looking at their personality and what they say and do, and how you feel about what they say. So it's been interesting going through this particular chapter.
Yeah, the entire book actually, this just really puts the nail on, if you will, in terms of helping us understand the power when we are able to find a way to actually transfer the energy from one form to another. And I think that reading the book, like everybody has expressed, helps us to do that. And so I want to encourage all of our listeners, like Thomasina walked us through from the first chapter and the principles that Napoleon Hill has espoused in this wonderful book, but it means absolutely nothing if we don't pick it up and read it and then apply it. All of the principles connect to the other. We can't take, you know, a cake, like the ingredients of a cake, and you say, you know, I'm just going to put everything in except the sugar, or except the eggs, or except the milk. These principles for success are the same. We must take them all together like the ingredients of the cake and use them to the best of our ability, always remembering to mastermind your success by aligning yourself with others of like mind and like spirit, We're also on the same kind of journey that you're on. So with that, to all our listeners and our awesome hosts, we're going to prepare to go ahead and wrap up the show. I want to thank everybody for joining us, and we'll see you again next week as we prepare to walk through the chapter on the subconscious mind. Everybody have a good day. Thank you.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com, or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, the original version restored and revised. by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-302-002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-302-002.